This morning, we are so excited to be able to share with you something of what the Lord has been doing, not only in the life of our people, but literally around the world. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And that is where we have been. This morning, I am excited to hear what our students will have to share. They will share second this morning, Brother John, and about our MFuge trip. And then, but first, we're going to start in Haiti with a work that has been going on now since 2014. We have taken as high as 5 trips a year and as low as 2 to Haiti. It is a work that God has expanded tremendously. And to share the story about Haiti, we have 2 of our team members. Steve Kelly is going to come, and then Miss Beth John. Beth, do you want to come on up? I understand that Steve has conceded some of his time to Miss Beth. And I share that publicly because I have a hunch that Beth probably called and put the squeeze on or something. Is that fair to say, brother?
Voluntary.
Now, I want you to know, I love this boy, but he hurt my feelings last year when he shared because I tell him, I said 5 to 7 minutes. And he gets up here and asks me, "Now, is that LaRue minutes or real minutes?"
I thought you forgot that.
No, it hurt my feelings. No, I'm kidding. We're excited. Steve, share with our people.
All right. Public speaking is not my strong suit. Medical is. So just kind of bear with me as we go through this. When I was originally typing this, because I figured reading it was the best option for y'all, I kept hitting Haiti 2027, and I delete it, and I hit 2027 again. So I guess that has a nice ring. So hopefully 10 years from now, I'll be up here and public speak a little bit better. Beth and I were discussing today's presentation. It was decided that I would provide some background information on the Haiti medical trip and its impact on Bertin, Haiti, and God's kingdom. This was our 3rd year going to Haiti to provide a medical clinic for the people there. This is our 2nd year running 2 clinics simultaneously. We have been serving the people and community at the Church of Bertin and their mother church at Coplage. There has been such an abundant amount of prayers and support from this body during these 3 years. I personally can't thank you enough. When LaRue asked me to speak to you all today, I felt it important to let you know just how the medical team works and how God is moving in Haiti. A little background on Haitian health care. In Haiti, if you can't pay for health care, you don't receive health care. And if you are sick enough, that can cost people and their children their lives. The medical team that God has equipped and this body has sent strives to meet this unthinkable need. A large part of what we do is provide the Haitian people with the education they need to manage their health. They have access to medications, but lack the knowledge to effectively manage their health and ultimately extend their life. As with life here, the longer a father and mother can remain healthy, the longer they can provide for themselves and their families. Besides education, we also provide treatment for an assortment of preventable diseases. These conditions, when left untreated, shorten the lives and decrease the person's quality of life. Most importantly, the medical team provides each and every person an encounter with Christ. The medical team staff, interpreters, and elders in each church engage every patient with Jesus Christ at some point in their visit. The physical and spiritual needs of these men and women are what we strive to meet. This year's team consisted of 39 people from 4 different states. These people, many who have no medical experience, worked in one of 4 treatment areas. Triage, an anti-parasitic station, pharmacy, and then the providers themselves. Just to provide you with an idea of how much God was doing while we were in Haiti, I gathered some comparative data for the sake of His glory and our awareness. Our triage team saw and questioned 435.3 people on an average in an 8-hour day. The largest hospital on our coast sees 235 people in a 24-hour day. The providers saw on an average, six providers saw 435.3 people in an average 8-hour day, compared to nine providers seeing 235 patients on a 24-hour period at the coast's largest hospital. Our pharmacy filled approximately 1,333 prescriptions in an 8-hour day. The Walgreens in Gulfport told me that they fill an average of 500 to 750 in a 24-hour period. And all in total, we were able to serve 1,306 patients over three clinic days. 1,306 people heard the name of Jesus as they were provided medical care that they otherwise could not get. 1,306 people were hugged, kissed, and loved on in the name of Jesus. I mentioned those numbers to show you how God is truly moving. He takes the impossible and makes it effortless, all while using underqualified but willing people. When God does things this impossible, there is no other way but to give Him the glory. Thank you again for all that this body does to make this trip happen.
Bonjour, bonjour. We content we ou, un papa le pou ou. Hello, hello. I'm happy to see you and to speak to you today. Bill and I often laugh about how hard it is to explain to people why we choose to keep going back to Haiti, the most impoverished, the hottest, the challenging place on earth. But that's our God. He creates in our willing hearts the desires He wants us to have. We begin to want and dream of things we never even imagined. And then He grows us. In Colossians 1:10, Paul prayed that the Colossians would bear fruit and grow in the knowledge of God. Next to that passage in my Bible, I have a sermon note from one of LaRue's sermons, and it said, God has not equipped a single believer with cruise control. Be fruitful. And so we arrived in Haiti. One of the most special times of each day was when we gathered for rooftop worship. Here we truly learned to fully engage in worship, because you come to that roof so joyful about the day's miracles, but also completely depleted. And you know, if God does not intervene the next day, there will be no way you can continue His work. Now that's worship. The next picture shows our luxury accommodations. It looks so peaceful. It is not. This picture shows the pre-work of preparing the pharmacy. And one of our greatest joys is reconnecting with old friends. Here we are hearing a report on a little boy who we were able to provide surgery for 2 years ago. And next is a beautiful picture of renewed friendship. And then our work began. This is not your typical CVS pharmacy. I don't think LaRue would be allowed behind their counter. And this picture shows triage, where patients' blood pressure and temperature and complaints are compiled. Often the blood pressure was so high that the triage worker could not believe it and had someone else come check to make sure they were right. Dehydration is a huge factor in most of their illnesses. And just a note, all of you who have cushy office chairs, I want you to drop by the preschool and borrow a chair for a week. I think you'll have a new appreciation for our providers. Every day, the patients gathered, and Pastor Clement led in song and in praise and in prayer. And the patients came and came and came, old folks and young emaciated babies, all seeking the only medical help that they would get until we returned again. The top left picture shows the station where every patient received a parasite medication. Youth and young adults, if you ever thought you can't make a difference in the world, listen to this. Around 90% of Haitian children and most of the adults are infected by parasites. These parasites cause malnutrition, brain damage, and grotesque swelling. For the Haitian people, this medicine is the difference between life and death. Even the smallest task can be used by God in a great and mighty way. God gave us the idea to provide this medicine again in November, since we do not need a physician to administer it. God is such a good planner. The other pictures show triage in the pharmacy. And this bottom slide here shows our Dr. Julie and the interpreter meeting with the patient. In addition to meeting the physical needs, meeting spiritual needs was so important. The tree ministry enabled us to go into the community and share our stories about Jesus while providing a fruit tree for the families. Before we left, one of the young adults, ironically named Beth, told me she could not wait to get back on American soil. She wanted air conditioning, she wanted a clean environment, and she wanted food she could eat. But our God can change hearts, and sometimes very quickly. If you look at the bottom right picture, that's Beth. She had just overcome her fear and spent time telling this man about Jesus. Look at her face. God transforms lives. From that point on, she was a new person, her heart completely reflecting God's desires. The lady with Sandy in the picture is a new Christian now. She was the last member of her family to accept Christ. It was a precious sight to see her children who wanted this so much for her. And on the bottom left, you see a man in a blue and white shirt. His story shows again how God uses willing hearts to share his love. You see, his wife was a voodoo priest or a mambo, so he was not interested in hearing about Jesus. He was interested, however, in finding some more diabetic test strips. So we told him to come to our clinic the next day, and we would see what we could do about providing his strips. So the next day, he showed up at church. And while he waited, as usual, Pastor Clement led the waiting crowd in prayer and singing, "How Great Thou Art." We were not able to find his particular strips, so we asked him to come back the next day. Again, he came, and again, he heard prayer and a hymn. 3 days in a row, he came to the church. That is probably more prayers and hymns than he had heard in a lifetime. I do not know where God will take this next, but I do know this voodoo man met Christians who went out of their way to meet his needs, and he heard the name of Jesus lifted up. Perhaps that is the mustard seed that will grow. The hardest part of our week is seeing hurting children. This is Samuel. Steve determined that he had hepatitis. And after receiving meds, Steve asked Sandy, Bill, and I to love on him until his fever went down. Samuel had walked 2 hours alone to get to our clinic. Samuel had every indication of being a restivet or a child slave. Even though he gave us permission to take these pictures, there were no smiles, no eye contact. Until God sent a mouse into the room, and I went into my eek mouse dance, and he actually broke into a grin. I will never look at mice the same way. A few hours later, after eating and drinking water, he was adamant that he returned home. He refused to go in the pastor's car, pointing up the mountain where no car could go. As he left, he walked a bit and turned around and waved to Bill. Then he walked higher up the mountain and one final time turned and waved. Please, please keep Samuel in your prayers. Jonathan was another heartbreaking experience. All of his symptoms pointed to polio, very contagious and dangerous. Bill and LaRue watched over him while we made plans to get him to a hospital. This next picture should be labeled compassion. After making all arrangements for hospital payment, Steve is carrying him to Pastor Clement's car for the trip. What you cannot see is Eric, our PPM leader, carrying two plates of food, one for Jonathan and one for his father. We found out later the hospital determined it was not polio. They dismissed Jonathan on Sunday after we left Haiti. Jonathan died on the way home. Because of our clinic, the family now has Pastor Clement and the church to minister to this family during a sad, sad time. At both sites, patients heard about Jesus and were prayed for. These last pictures show another ministry idea that God put in my head. So many of the patients who waited all day did not know God. So God said, let the little children lead them. And so we practice our Creole by having these children read Romans 3:23 and John 3:16 over and over and loudly. John 3:16 in any language is good news. So what did we learn and what did God teach us on this trip? Through Beth, the youth who was ready for American soil, he taught us we need to obey and God will change the desires of our heart. Through the voodoo man, he taught us God works all things for good. Through Samuel, that we are called to show love and compassion, and we are called to prayer. Because of Samuel, on our November trip, we will be teaching the importance of hygiene and hydration. And through Jonathan, he taught us that we cannot wait one day to tell others about Jesus. We just do not know how long we have on this earth. We must get off cruise control, and we must get on fire. Because of Jonathan, on our November trip, we will make the gospel message a very intentional part of each day's work. And because of Jonathan, next week, we will be sharing the gospel at our own Daughtry Roads apartments. And finally, this is an email that Pastor Clement sent my daughter Catherine and her husband Clark. It says, greetings. I come short of words to explain or describe how great the things have been here at Burton. We had three blessed days. People came from every corner of the community to receive medical care. And this let me understand how busy the Lord Jesus was when receiving people coming from every place to be touched and healed by him. In 3 days, the medical team has served 728 people. So wonderful, so great. Praise God. Hope that your parents will tell you the story of this week. Blessings to you and clock. In Christ, Pastor Clement. Bonjour, au grand. How great is our God. How will you serve him? Thank you.
We certainly had a wonderful time at Bearton. We saw 728 there, and the other patients, the other clinic at Cote Plage, didn't see as many as we saw. We were a little ahead of them number-wise, but they too, for a total of 1,309 people served. We still have a few seats available for the November Haiti ministry trip. If you're interested, we will be in Haiti the week of Thanksgiving. We will fly out on Saturday the 18th, return on Friday the 24th, if you're interested. But we want to change gears and come stateside now, okay? Come back across the waters, and Brother John Jones is going to take charge. I'm going to sit down, and you hear now our MFuge report.
Of this world, we run to a glorious reward.
Now, what you just saw in 31 seconds took us about 12 hours. Aren't you glad you got that version of it? So this past year, we planned and had our hearts set on Chicago, and God changed that a week before we left. And so this is our team the morning before we left. And I don't know what the deal is with 39, but we also took 39. So God works in funny ways, doesn't he? And so we took 39 people, 27 students, 12 adults in 6 vehicles. It was fun. I'm going to run through a few of these so you can see. We did this a lot. John Mark's not real happy, but he had to fill up his mother's vehicle many, many, many times. And so friendships were strengthened and endured and stressed. And well, that's what happens when you're in a vehicle for 8 hours at a time. And so then we did this a lot again, didn't we, Aaron? Filled up again and again and again. Keep going. And we had, again, friendships strengthened, but also friendships made. You wouldn't think there would be students in our youth ministry who don't know each other, but there are. But when I put them in a car together, they don't have a choice but to get to know each other. Next. And again. And again. Next. Now, I'm going to just show you a few things of what happened at camp. Again, some of these girls didn't know each other when they first got to the church the morning we left, and now they're really showing their friendship. Go ahead. This, you can't really see real well on the back screen. Maybe you can. Yeah. Yard work was a part of our choices in ministry. When you go to MFuge, you get to choose ministry choices within the community. Painting, construction, and yard work is one of those choices. Children's ministry is one of those choices. Social ministry is one of those choices. Games and Rec is another one of those choices. Always using whatever that ministry is to minister to the hearts of the people there. Next, we have, again, hard work, and it was hot. Let me tell you, it was Haiti hot. And it was something. My daughter found a weed eater and somehow learned how to use it. And she will be putting that knowledge to use locally. Next. And here we have some young ladies ministering to this girl through, what ministry was that, Children's? Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? Next. And then again. Again. Next. Next. And then we have sisters who love each other genuinely. Next. And then we have some crazy chaperones during worship and time together at night. Next. More crazy chaperones. And that was a morning time, I'm quite sure. Next. And so was this. Is Jimmy here this morning? Jimmy's on the back wall. I don't know if Jimmy is praying or resting, but whatever he's doing, the whole row's doing it too. So we're going to say it's prayer time. Go ahead. Next. And this was a time of worship, which we had every night. Next. Next. And then we had prayer time and focuses on prayer at various times during the week. Next. That's prayer. Next. And this is our group, our church time together, which we had every night, where we would come together and let the students and adults share what God did that day. That was really my favorite time of the day, because we were divided up into groups during the day and we didn't see each other. And then we came back in that night and we would see each other again and hear what God had done in the lives of others. Next. This is our picture before we returned, but I want to show you just one more photo. Chaperones can dance. At this time, I'm going to ask Miss Teresa to come. Teresa has never been to Fuge, never been to camp, or maybe she had, maybe it's been years ago. Have you been to Fuge before? Back when it was still Fuge? Okay. She said, 30 years ago, John. I asked Teresa to come and give an adult perspective.
It'll take me a moment. It has been a while since I've been involved with the youth. Most of you know I stay on the other side of the building. I'm here every Sunday, but very few of you probably see me. When John asked me to do this, it was kind of out of my comfort zone because I've been with bed babies through kindergarten for so long. And so I told him, let me think about it. And then my grandchildren asked me, well, can we go? Can you go? And I thought, okay, I think I can. So I told John I would. Then I told him I wouldn't because I thought, you know, he needed someone probably younger, a little bit more into going. I just kind of started having those doubts. But then someone called out, something happened, and I ended up going. What a blessing. Yeah, sometimes we just have to step out in knowing that God is telling us to do it. Not that it's in our comfort zone, because let me tell you what a sense of humor our God has. You know, I have girls. I have two grandsons, but I have like six granddaughters. But when John, maybe John and God has a sense of humor. Instead of putting me in a van with maybe one of the other ladies with a couple of girls, you know, Jimmy Johnson and I took that trip together. Now, y'all think about that for a few minutes. So, with the five boys in the van with me, our God is good. I want to tell you. It was the best trip, y'all. Even though we went on roads that I will probably never see again, it was a wonderful trip. Those boys in that van, if they didn't know it then, they should know it now. I love every one of you. But in saying that I love every one of them, I have expectations for them. And I expect them to be the young men that that God has made them to be. Not what their mama and daddy or any of that. And I did share that in the van one day. You know, you can get away with a whole lot with mom and dad, but you're not going to get away from God. So anyway, I've only got 5 minutes, so let me tell you. I enjoyed the group thing at the end. They did divide us up into five, six, seven groups. I don't even know how many groups, but I know my group was the social group. And again, it was Jimmy and Rob and I, we were in that group, and Jason. And sometimes, one time, Corbin was in that group with us. I think it was something to do with changeover. But anyway, we were in the social group. And the social group was nursing homes and a boys' home. Now, the boys' home was not a home where boys had done anything wrong. It was family situations that brought those boys to this home. It was a lovely area. I went fishing one day. We played basketball. Again, a God thing, because at my age, I don't even know how I was in that heat. It didn't bother me. Didn't seem that hot to me. I know it was hot, but I'll tell you, God will take care of you. And when you hear about the trip to Haiti and you think, well, I can't do that, or you hear about MFuge or these children going different places, I can't do that, please don't put can't in your vocabulary. You can. You may choose to say I can't, but that's all on you. God will direct your ways. So if I have learned anything in being the age I am now, I will tell you I have been a slow learner in stepping out on faith and trusting my God. These young people that have gone to this MFuge, they could have done the same thing here in Long Beach. They could have done, and they do that, okay? But stepping out of your comfort zone, being with adults, not with mom and dad, God works every way, every situation. And sometimes He just wants us to step out of our comfort zone, away from home, and go in and do the things that He has to do, whether it's mowing the grass or going to a park with strangers you don't even know. And then these kids bring this back home. They're excited, y'all. And I hope they keep that excitement, because what they did when they were away, they should be doing again. And I will lay that on them too. They can say they can't do it here, but they can. So you must keep that momentum going. And what you could do there, you can do here. But I'm looking so forward to the next MFuge, because I see how it is God is working. Not John Jones, not Teresa Cleary, not anybody. But our God is working within this church and within our youth. And He has allowed us to go out. Those meetings that we had together, when you saw the excitement on these young people's face and on our faces as we saw what God could do. Did we go out just to love? And like some people, I have to have a few notes here. You know, it is said to love one another. How simple that is. But do we do that? If we can only learn to love one another, stepping outside your comfort zone, trusting God, that's what it's all about. This was an awesome trip. These children or young adults should look back on it for years to come. And I know they're looking forward to next year. So when y'all hear of MFuge, if it kind of comes to your heart, then, well, I wouldn't mind going doing that, then I would say go. Okay? Make plans. Get with these children. Because, again, while I have stage, and I guess this means you have spent your time, I'm going to say real quick, God made families first. Our families are our most important thing. We have got to take care of family. Y'all are family. So let's take care of what we've got and do what God is telling us to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Teresa was just one of 12. Would the rest of you chaperones please stand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right. Awesome. Some of them aren't here today. Gatlin, come on up here. Now, Teresa took half of your time. I'm sorry. Gatlin told me this past week, she said, if you need students to share, I'll do it. I said, all right, here you go.
Hey, everybody. When I first arrived at MFuge, I was very excited, but I was a little nervous to see how the Lord would do His works through me this week. When I found out that I got placed on the construction team, I was very excited, but I was bummed at the same time. I was excited because this was going to be a whole new experience, but I was bummed because I was worried that I wouldn't be able to share Christ with anyone. But I left South Carolina with lots of good times and great memories, and I want to share two of them with y'all today. I think it was one of the last days we had an extended free time after our track time. And so what we did was we got with the people that we rode in our vans with on the way to Infuge, and we went separately. We went around downtown Charleston. We just kind of went sightseeing. And my group stopped at a boardwalk looking out into the water. So we got out of the van, just looked out at the water, and then me and my friend John Mark started singing Good Good Father, and then the rest of the group started singing. And there was a lot of people around us, and some of them just ignored us, and some of them just walked by. Some of them stopped to listen, and it was pretty cool. On the last day of sight, me and Missy Ball went to go refill our water bottles at the main park in the neighborhood, which was a few houses down from the house that we were working on. And on our way back, there was this older guy, and he was standing by his car in his driveway across the street. And so when we were walking by, he shouted, "Are y'all ladies sure y'all want to be working out in this heat?" And we walked over to him and we said, "Yes, sir." But I was honestly kind of embarrassed walking up to some stranger being all sweaty and gross. But anyways, he asked us what we were doing, who we were, and where we were from. So we told him. Then he told us he was a brother in Christ, which was, I was happy. And then we talked about just things like society, and he gave us some really good advice. One of these points being, like, don't hang around people who like do drugs or do bad things. And we talked with him for maybe like 5-10-ish minutes. And then when Miss Missy and I were about to walk away, I heard God say, "Gatlin, there's your chance." So I quickly turned around and I said, "Excuse me, sir, can I pray for you?" And he said I could. So the three of us gathered around and I began to pray, thanking God for this man and his good advice, for us meeting him at the right time, for us being physically able to do all the work that we did, keeping us safe, and lastly, I prayed that we would make some kind of impact on a broken life or lives, and that God would continue to do work through us. And when I was done, that man put his hand on my shoulder, and he was crying, and he said, "Girl, you are so good." And I said, "Thank you, sir." I think the one thing that I loved about being on the construction team was that we were showing that we were willing to get out of our comfort zones and get to working hard for people we don't even know, and that we were doing that for God. And when people saw us or heard our story, hopefully they would think, wow, they're doing that out of the goodness of their own hearts because they love their God. Wow, their God must be good. And I'm here to say, he sure is. And finally, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read that a meek, feeble shepherd boy, because of his faith in God, was able to kill a 7-foot giant with just a sling and a stone. Now this shepherd boy, whose name was David, was only about 14 years old at the time, so I can only imagine how scared he might have been, but David's strong faith in the Lord persevered, and he was able to kill Goliath. I believe we're all like David. Each and every one of us has these struggles or giants in our lives that make us feel so small and weak. But by having faith in God and trusting in him, we are strong, mighty warriors capable of defeating even the biggest giants that life throws our way. Thank you.
And one last testimony. Abigail had a unique encounter, and I want her to share that with you.
Good morning, everybody. So during our week in Haiti, I was in the ministry track of children's, which is...
Did I say Haiti?
Oh, my bad. While we were in Infuge, sorry, my head's like, well, I'm a little nervous. So during our time in Infuge, I was spent my week with children at an apartment complex that was feeding children that didn't get meals during the summer. So it was like a government-funded camp, I guess you would call it. And before getting there, our leader said, "Find a buddy." So when I got there, I found a little buddy. His name was Chris. And automatically he said, "Can I be your buddy?" And I was like, "Heck yeah, man, you can be my buddy. Of course you can." So we started out by playing football. He didn't really know how to throw football, so the least talented person at throwing a football taught him how to throw a football. He was like, "I'm going to be the best football player ever." And I was like, "I'm sure you are, Chris. Like, I have faith in you." So that was kind of how we started out our fun time together. Later on, we went into Bible study, and my group shared the story of Jonah and the whale. At the end of the story, we kind of talked about how, like, God forgave Jonah even though he sinned against him. So at the end, my leader, Valerie, was like, "Okay, now go tell your kids what sin is and explain to them how we can, like, be forgiven for our sins." And so I did. I think I might have been the only one that did, but that's okay. So Chris and I sat down in the grass in the very hot heat and talked. So I was like, "Do you know what sin is?" And he was like, "Not really." So I was like, "Well, sin's when you do something wrong, when you lie, when you cheat, when you do something you're not supposed to do that you know you're not supposed to do." He was like, "Well, I do that a lot." So I went to Romans 3:23, and it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." He was like, "Okay, what does that mean?" So I went to Romans 6:23, and I said, "For the wages of sin is death." And his face, like, you could see it. He automatically was, like, very somber, did not like that. And then I said, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And he was like, "Okay, that's awesome." And he was, like, really happy. And I was like, "I agree. That really is really awesome." And so we sat there and we talked about it, and later on I was like, we were running out of time, and I was kind of talking, and I was like, "Okay, well, do you remember the story of Jonah?" And I, like, explained it deeper, and then we had to leave, and I was like, "Okay, I wasn't done yet." Got to kind of finish this up, because I had to kind of wrap it up. So I read John 3:16, and I was like, "So did you know that Jesus died for you?" And he was like, "Someone died for me?" And it was like, okay, I grew up knowing that Jesus died for me, but he didn't. And that was such, like, a big thing for him. Like, he was astonished. And so by the end of the day, he was like, "Can you bring me more stories tomorrow? I want to know more." And so I was like, "Okay, I got to go back to camp and get all of this together so that I can tell him as much as I can." So that night at camp, I went and I got my journal out, and I just started writing down, like, the Roman roads and some of my other favorite verses. And so when I got there the next day, the first thing he said is, "Did you bring more stories?" And I was like, "Of course I did." He was like, "I made you something." And I was like, "You did?" And it was, I don't really know what it was, but he cared enough to make it for me. And he was like, "Did you bring what you said you were going to bring?" I was like, "Of course I did." And so I handed him a piece of paper. He was like, "Is this it?" I was like, "That's it." And he was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "So these are some of my favorite verses." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And so then he was, like, excited, because at first he was like, "I don't really know what this is." I was like, "Oh, okay, well, this is what it is." And then he was excited. And so that day was kind of hard to talk about God with him, because it was water day. So we had a big slip and slide, and there were water guns, and we were in the water all day. And it was very hot again. And so he's very distracted that day. But then at the end, we got together and we were talking about the different verses that I had written down for him. And I was like, "Are you going to read these?" And he was like, "I promise I will." And he, like, gave me a big hug. And he was like, "Thank you so much for this." And then his little sister, Nevaeh, walked up. She said, "Do I get one?" And I was like, dude, this kid can totally talk to his sister about the things that I've talked to him about. And it can be, like, a huge family impact that they all talk about in church. The thing that we never, like, I've always, like, "Oh, I've never done that, but..." Then I did, and he was like, "Of course I will." And so I gave him a hug, and they had to leave because they were cutting the camp short, and it was, like, really sad. But that was my experience at MPH.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So ministry takes place, it happens in different ways. The kids are already excited about MPH for next year. So parents, July 8 through 14, $350. Sign up as soon as today, $50 deposit, and make monthly payments and you'll be done very soon. We have 50 spots. 50. And I want to take everyone. Thank you.
This morning, you're thinking, neat stories, good experiences. But let me share with you what you have experienced now. This morning, what the Lord wanted us to hear was basically a six-part sermon. The message was in six parts. Two parts with Haiti, four parts with Infuge. What you have heard, you have also seen its impact upon six individuals. I could count as seven. Because of what God is doing when we are obedient, I want you to be a part of it. I've seen what He does through obedience. And I have experienced the special inspiration and touch and the encouragement and the meaningful experience with the Lord through obedience. He wants you to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me." And there's so much going opportunity around us. You're going to have opportunity next Sunday afternoon, early evening, 5:30. We'll be engaging ministry at the Daugherty Road Apartments. And this is going to be an ongoing ministry. Every month, we will be in there. We've also been invited to do a women's Bible study in that community. And so there's so much that God is opening to us. And I believe He's doing so because He's calling you and me to engage our community. Maybe you've never done it before, but you can now. And there are people a lot just like you who are willing to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go." And that's the challenge. That's the call this morning. Would you be willing to go? Would you be willing to invest your life outside the comfort zone, but in the very place where our God is at work? Would you be willing to join Him? Don't you want to be a part of a fellowship of faith like that? Well, you can this morning. Embrace Jesus as your Savior. Follow Him in believer's baptism. Come down and ask for membership into this fellowship. We want you to be a part of our family of faith. And we want to help you engage your world where you live. And we can help equip you. And we can bring others alongside you. But it all begins at one point: obedience. Will you obey? Will you come? Yes. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Obedience. God wants to work in your life. Would you say yes today? Let's pray.